Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We never caught up on our Christmas goss.
What's the Christmas goss? Jingle bell.
Jingle bell. No, so I was trying to think of another Christmas pun and I couldn't. So... have you heard the rumours about Sandra Bullock's lesbian bar?
Oh, I love Sandra Bullock's lesbian bar.
I didn't realise this was a thing, and now I'm seeing memes everywhere. Taylor Swift exits Sandy B's lesbian bar, or like, it was Anne Hathaway, or it was some A-lister, and someone retweeted it going, who's what and what? Like, what? So apparently Sandy B, our girl, has a lesbian bar, and I'm like, is Sandy B fruity? The people need to know.
I mean, have we seen Ocean's
8?
What is it, 11 or 8? Yeah. Have we seen Ocean's 8?
I was watching Kate Blanchett in Ocean's 8.
And I was watching her interact with Sandra Bullock.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe there is a little fruity fruit.
Fruit. Yeah.
I must know more about this bar.
I don't know. I keep seeing it as well. It's just celebrities that I think are considered fruity or might be fruity or are rumored to be fruity exiting her bar.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I just love that she has a bar, first of all.
Like, literally. I would love to go.
Yeah, me too. We're not famous enough, though.
We can use the back door.
Sneak in. Maybe we'll get in with Rachel Senna and she'll let us in.
Actually, Rachel Senna is not queer.
What?
I know.
Okay.
Wait, I'm about to make it worse. Not even Jewish.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, rewind.
And we're live.
Do I make you nervous, Corky?
I'm a homosexual!
Lesbian.
I'm a homosexual.
I have loved you the way they said!
You fancy gears?
I'm having a proper full-on gay crisis.
Hello and welcome to Gay Actually. Thanks for being here. It's going to be a fun old gay time.
Pitch Perfect is a lesbian musical film.
Of course.
I want to carry off badass lesbian chic like Kate Blanchett can.
Welcome. Hi everyone. Welcome back to Gay Actually. A series as part of the UK Film Review podcast where we discuss all things LGBTQ+ cinema. If you want to hear about Rachel Senna not being queer or Jewish, you've come to the right place today. My name is Amber, and as always, I am joined by Joyce.
Hello.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Queer.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who's to not a new queer?
But Rachel Senna.
I didn't know that. Right, okay, we're going to have to...
I didn't know that either.
Happy New Year, everyone, but we're going to have to launch straight into this now.
Yes.
I just assumed that she was queer.
Didn't we all? I Wikipedia'd her today just to be prepared.
Love that.
And yeah, she has never explicitly mentioned her sexuality, but she dates men.
Okay. So we're not saying she's straight.
But she's also not explicitly queer.
Okay. So she's not put a label... Okay.
She's never dated public. She's a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Never talked about women. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason for us to think she might be queer.
But then maybe she... I'm putting words in her mouth. But maybe she's just not had any experience with women. Like, she's not come out and been like, I'm straight. But I don't know. Interesting. I didn't know this. And also, she's not Jewish.
Crazy, right? Because she plays so many Jewish characters. I say so many, but really, how many?
I mean, these are the only two films I've seen with Rachel Sennett in. So, also, I realized that I was saying her name wrong in the last episode we did. By the way, listeners, we had an episode come out on Tuesday, 2 days ago, on our Gay Actually channel. Yes, we record in two places. It's on Dan Levy's debut film, Good Grief. A bit sad, but mostly joyful and uplifting. Go and give it a listen. Show us some love over there. But I realized that I said Rachel Sennett wrong.
Yeah, what?
I realized that I said her name wrong. I was saying Rachel Senna, but it's Rachel Sennett.
Sennett.
Yeah, but I was getting it because I was hearing it through like an American lilt. Senna. But it's Sennett.
Sennett. Okay, so should we introduce this episode?
Yes.
What are we talking about today?
Go for it, girl. What are we talking about?
We are talking about the films of Rachel Sennett. Ooh, she's not a director, but she is, I will say,
screenwriter.
Living on the internet, that as well. Living on the internet, Rachel Sennett's films, it's kind of a cult. It's a cult within the film world.
Is it a lesbian cult?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay. What do people like about Rachel Sennett?
I think it's just her acting, her comedy, kind of her personality. Plus, I mean, you've seen two of her films now, but they're all kind of like, well, and I keep saying her films, but really, like I said, she's not the director. But she's kind of the appeal and the reason why people watch these films, I would argue, kind of living or having seen a lot of things about Rachel Sennett on Twitter and Letterboxd and stuff like that. Like, it seems to be very much about her. And I mean, I can see why. I think she's so unique in her acting in a way that's just really fun.
I agree. I think she's really funny. Bearing in mind, I came into this a Rachel Sennett virgin. This was Joyce's theme. For this month, and I just didn't know what to expect, and there is definitely one film that I prefer more, but
I'm curious, which one is it? Okay, today in this episode we're going to talk about two of the films starring Rachel Sennett. One of them is Shiver Baby and the other one's Bottoms. Okay, which one did you prefer?
I preferred Bottoms to Shiver Baby.
Okay.
And I don't know my reasons, so don't ask me my reasons, but it's just like the overall vibe of the film I preferred. I think, I don't know. I mean, we'll get into it more, but I think the comedy in Bottoms just really struck a chord with me, and I was crying. I was watching it last night. I was absolutely in bits, laughing. I just thought the chemistry between all of the actresses was incredible. Such good casting. And I didn't know any of them. I didn't know any of the people in the film.
You know Kaia Gerber? I think she's a model.
No, I didn't. I don't know anyone.
You was Rachel Sennett's love interest.
No, I didn't recognize her. Ayo Edebiri as well, I hadn't really seen before, but now I'm seeing videos everywhere of a certain acceptance speech from the other day where she thanked Ireland in an acceptance speech and everyone's going mad for it for some reason, and I think I'm not in on the joke. So I was like, as someone with that, you know, that one person in the comments that's like, someone explain to me because I don't get it. I love that person because I never understand.
Honestly, and it's like embarrassing to write it yourself.
Literally, yeah. It's, and I'm like, you took one for the team, boo-boo. But yeah, it was something to do with Ireland. I can't remember what it was now, so that was useless, but
I don't know either. I'll look it up after this episode.
But yeah, their chemistry was amazing, the two of them. And I really liked Ruby Cruz as well, who plays Hazel. I was like, girl, I see you. So yeah, Shiver Baby, I liked. And I thought it was really, still really funny and still really relatable. I don't know who wrote Shiver Baby, but it felt like an authentic Jewish experience satirized.
So Shiver Baby was actually a short film that was made at NYU.
Yeah.
And Rachel Sennett also starred in that.
Oh!
In the short film.
Yeah. I did think the film was short. It was like an hour and 15.
Yeah, but a short film was like 8 minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it was a short. And then that got picked up and they got funding to make the feature. Whoa. Which is the Shiver Baby that we just watched.
Cool.
Yeah, same director, Emma Seligman. Okay. If you say it. She's also the writer.
Nice.
And she might be Jewish. I don't know. Let me look it up.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she also wrote Bottoms, wrote and directed Bottoms.
Ah, okay. Yeah, because did Rachel Sennett co-write Bottoms as well, or am I making that up?
I think maybe she did co-write. I know that they came up with the idea together.
I love that.
Yeah, she co-wrote it.
I love that, like, up-and-coming, let's make a film together vibe. That's so fun. I don't want to trash Shiver Baby. I did actually really like it, but I think Bottoms just sealed the deal for me a lot more.
Mm. Which one did you watch first?
Shiver Baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's because I don't know if that part of that reason is that I related to Bottoms more.
Why is that, Amber?
Queer coming of age.
Oh, because I went... we were talking about the film title.
Enough.
Wow, that took you a really long time. I saw this one review. We'll get into the films. We're definitely going to talk about both. But I saw this one review about Bottoms on Letterboxd that was something like, the funny thing is that no one in this film is a bottom, or something like that.
Yes, because I was wondering... I just spat my drink. Oh my God.
Nice.
I was wondering why it was called Bottoms, because I was like, nobody here is giving bottom energy.
Right.
Do we have to explain to our listeners what a bottom is? Because I don't think all of our listeners on UK Film Review are queer.
Okay. Hi, guys.
Wait. Keep it clean.
I was going to say Google it. A bottom maybe is, like, in a non-sexual way, is maybe someone who likes to be, like, pampered and, like, treated nicely and, like, taken care of, maybe. I find it really hard to define, like, non-sexually what a top or a bottom is.
Oh, Reddit has... There's a Reddit forum for this.
For top or bottom?
Bottom energy versus top energy. In my opinion, bottom energy and top energy are just memes that have gotten out of hand.
I mean, honestly.
I mean, fine.
Because it started out as a sexual thing, right? Like, it came from, like, gay men. And then for some reason it got adopted into, like, the rest of queer culture.
Yeah, and it's like it is a joke that's got out of control. I'm trying to figure out what it means in the context of this film.
Well, I think what we were just saying, that it's gotten kind of out of hand and it's kind of a joke in a lot of ways now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just kind of it, like the absurdity of it. Like, let's call this film Bottoms. Like, how funny is that?
It is hilarious and so satirical. Also, I feel like some straight people might not know what it means. And that to me is even more funny because obviously the whole film is kind of talking about how the straight people at the school treat the queer people because they just don't understand anything. And that to me is funny because I'm like, finally, someone has taken the negative experience of being openly gay at school and twisted it around so that these people, these bullies, look stupid. That's redemptive for me. I love it.
What it also could be is, I was just thinking while you were talking, like, you know how you have films like American Pie where it's about they want to lose their virginities. They're kind of like all losers that can't get any sex.
It's that kind of vibe, isn't it?
It's kind of the same vibe. So, but instead of calling them losers, we would call them bottoms.
Yes. But like, also, bottom of the high school food chain.
Exactly. Like, there's just so many.
That's the thing in American films and American culture, like the high school pecking order, isn't it? It's like so ingrained, like jocks, cheerleaders, nerds.
Exactly that. But you can't take it seriously because it's called bottoms, and bottoms isn't even like a serious word. Like, and it's just like a queer coded word, and it's just like
so good.
I think there's a lot of interpretations for the title, but
yeah. And what about Shiver Baby, the title? Because obviously,
well, Sugar Baby. Shiver Baby.
Oh my God, you're right. Oh my God. Because I was like, I was like, because a shiva is like the equivalent of a wake in Judaism. It's like the celebration of life after the funeral. But I was like, what does the baby part mean? That's so She's good. Of course, sugar baby. Yeah. That's good because she's such a baby. Yeah. Both of these roles, she's so unlikable, and I actually kind of dig it.
I love her. It's like you say, but this is why I love the way she acts, because she's so unserious.
It makes me hate her or like get annoyed with her, because
really?
her characters are so unlikable.
So unserious.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just like nothing about it is like, oh. Everything about it is like, oh.
Yeah, I get you. But then I'm also like, help yourself.
Oh, dude. So I watched this other film that we're not going to talk about today. But I watched Bodies, Bodies, Bodies yesterday. And this is my favorite. I loved it. It was absolutely amazing. And Rachel Sennett is not the main character in it. She's like one of the side characters.
Yeah.
But she's just so good. Like, I just love the way she acts. Like, her character is also so highly unlikable, but she's so like, I've known people that were exactly like her, and like,
yeah,
okay, not to get into this, I'm gonna keep this super short, but just a little anecdote. One time I had this little summer job that was god awful, but it was for a bunch of very 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 rich people from LA. It was like I was serving at like one of their things.
Was this anyway, when you were in the States?
No, this was here in London.
Oh my god!
But these were all like really rich people from LA doing stupid rich people stuff. Sorry, no offense. And one of the, I don't know, they're never gonna listen to this. One of the girls was like 22. She was the daughter, and like they're from LA, mind you, right? They have a house in like Venice Beach.
Oh my god!
The daughter is like 22, dating this 45-year-old like kind of actor. Like, and that is exactly what Bodies, Bodies, Bodies Rachel Sennett was giving. The exact same thing. And I was like, oh my god, I know this girl. Like, I know this girl.
It's a girl in American culture that you'd recognize.
She can really pinpoint these tiny details about a character that make them so recognizable. And this is what I like in her acting, because it's just so unserious, but it's so, like, it feels so real. Like,
that is, yeah.
I recognize myself in a lot of her characters, but also I recognize other people in some of her characters, and yeah, it is they are unlikable.
That's a good point.
She does it so well that it's just so fun to watch. That's how I feel about it.
But also I guess the great thing about those characters is that the reason why they annoy us so much is that we see qualities in them that secretly we hate about ourselves, like those insecurities and those little jealousies or whatever of like hugely amplified, but we still recognize them as something human, and then we're like, oh, that's how she gets you.
Yeah, we've already at this point talked so much about Rachel Sennett, but there's a few more things I want to say before we jump into the film.
Go for it, girl.
Yay. So if you're not familiar with Rachel Sennett, she was actually already kind of popular before she started acting. And I think, and this might be the same for like other people, but for me at least, like, I didn't realize this was the same person. There was this video, I don't know if it was a TikTok or God knows, but it has a lot, it has like Vine energy. It's like a Vine energy TikTok. And everyone has seen it. Like, I don't know if you've seen it, Amber, but it's kind of like
with me, I'm afraid. Who knows if I've seen it or not.
But I think everyone on the internet has seen this video.
Come on, it's LA. What? It's LA. I'm addicted to drugs. We all are. If you don't have an eating disorder, get one.
Oh my god. This video, this is Rachel Sennett.
Oh my god.
Yes.
No way.
This. And there's this tweet that this girl tweeted in 2018, which is 2 years before Shiva Baby, tweeted, and this tweet, I have seen this tweet so many times in my lifetime, okay? I couldn't believe that this is Rachel Sennett. She tweeted this tweet. You might have seen it. Going on a date tonight with $11 in my bank account. Let's hope he's not a feminist, LOL. And then her comment, first comment is her as well saying, ha ha ha. He said in the first 3 minutes of the date, I follow you on Twitter. Don't worry, I got you covered.
I've seen that as well. I've liked that tweet.
Exactly. That's Rachel Sennett.
Brilliant. Oh my god.
She's funny. So she's a stand-up comedian. That's how she started entertainment industry. Yeah. Doing stand-ups. She had some shows on Comedy Central with Ayo from Bottoms. Yeah. She had a show with her on Comedy Central.
No way.
Yeah, doing stand-up, stuff like that. That's how she started.
Oh, that's why they have such good chemistry then.
Yeah, they've known each other for a long time. Apparently they met at NYU. So
love.
That's where she did Shiva Baby, the short film. And then she did Shiva Baby, the feature. And from there, more stuff has happened. So she was in The Idol as well, that HBO show that everyone hates. I haven't seen it yet.
The one with The Weeknd.
And Lily Rose Depp.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
So yeah, anyway, this is kind of the background on Rachel Sennett.
Wow. Crazy times.
Yeah. So like we all kind of know her. I told you about that tweet in that video and we both know about it. But that is Rachel Sennett.
That's crazy.
How is that?
I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah, me either.
That's wild times.
So anyway.
Cultural moment. Let's dive into the films.
I'm ready.
Shiva Baby 2020. Let's go.
I just still can't believe she's not Jewish. Like, I literally...
That blows my mind.
So, Shiva Baby is about our girl. Our girl, what's her
Danielle.
Name?
Danielle.
Shiva Baby.
Danielle.
Our girl, Danielle, a Jewish girl in New York who is currently in college, should be graduating soon. And she is earning some money as a sugar baby at the moment. She goes to a shiva, like you said, it's a wake in Judaism, with her parents, and there she sees her ex-girlfriend as well, which is excellent.
Maya.
And then, to make matters even worse, her sugar daddy walks in with his wife and their baby.
And then she realizes, this man is married with a baby. Yeah. I'm not the only baby in his life.
Ooh! Shiva double baby.
We need to remember to talk about that baby because oh my god, that baby.
Yep. So yeah, the whole film, I think it's like 90 minutes long or something, is set at the shiva. Like it's all in one location, one kind of time frame, but it gets increasingly hot for Danielle and we can feel the stress building. Because she's navigating so many things at once. It's like her parents talking about her college major, which isn't really a major. It's like liberal arts and a mix of gender studies and gender business.
Gender business.
And then having no job prospects. And then her sugar daddy, who's being really weird. And his wife, who's being very suspicious. And then Maya, who's actually going to law school and is actually really successful, her ex-girlfriend. And her not being able to deal with that. And then losing her phone and all these people talking to her, talking about her weight, and it gets super overwhelming.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think I found this film so overstimulating. Because I liked the film, but I was saying the reason it's not my favorite of the two is because I actually found it quite stressful. It's that feeling of they capture the feeling so well of there's just these long takes stuck on Danielle's face as there's sounds and music happening. It was giving like a bit of Yorgos Lanthimos The Favourite with like the violin strings, sudden violin jerks and close up on the face and just constant talking like, oh, you know, I'm sure we can do some networking. Oh my God. Oh my God. And just constant noise. It's so much. The film is literally like an hour and 15. It's not that long at all. But I found it a lot. And I was like, it was good. But I was like, okay. And relax. Also, the beginning was not expecting the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, when she's at her sugar daddy's apartment. Because you mentioned, what was it with the violins that you just mentioned?
Ding!
Huh?
Ding! The violin noise. Ding!
Yeah, but what film did you reference?
The Favourite, sorry. Oh. I was like, what violin
do you mean,
thing?
Ding.
I was doing an impression of the thing. The Favourite. Yeah, Yorgos Lanthimos The Favourite. Speaking of which, I still haven't seen Poor Things, so no spoilers.
I'm going to go watch it. Literally, I have to go watch it this week, otherwise I'm going to cry.
I'm so...
Yorgos. He's like one of my faves.
I love him because... there was this guy at work and he was like, I'm going to go see it. And I was like, don't spoil it for me. Don't.
Anyway, I was going to this also reminded me of Birdman. Do you remember that film?
Yeah.
God, that completely away my memory. But Birdman was so felt so like stressful as well. Mm-hmm. And the music, I think, in Birdman was mostly drums, but it would also like build up when things were happening. And that kind of like building or like that placement of the music
makes me feel panicked.
Felt very similar in Shiva Baby.
Yeah.
And plus, like, you know, there were so many close-ups of her face, like you're saying, but even from the start, and it makes you feel so like imprisoned almost because you don't even get to see everything that's going on. Like, it's such a limited view.
Yeah, it's such a good way of portraying how terrible she's feeling inside. Like, because she does not like herself at all. And I think there's something really... I feel like queer Jews may relate to the film because it's that feeling of being in a religious environment surrounded by people that... Obviously, the community is really tight-knit. All of these people have known Danielle since she was an infant. So they're all coming up to her like, oh, Danielle, have you eaten anything, honey? Like, and it's so much for her to have all these, like, aunties just being, like, descending on her. Also, like, you know, how's school going? Have you got a boyfriend? Who can we set you up with? Have you got a job lined up? Oh, who could we network with? And like, it's all about like getting connections. Oh, I might have a cousin in publishing. Let me get you in touch. And it's like that world is so... I feel like it's quite authentic, but then also it's just so overwhelming for Danielle. And then to watch that as an audience member, just kind of being like,
I mean,
whoa.
That would be stressful on its own, but the fact that her successful ex-girlfriend is there and her sugar daddy.
Yeah, so she didn't know the sugar daddy was going to be there because they both lied about where they were going to be at the beginning. Because I just thought, oh, like, is she's collecting money, like she doesn't want to emotionally connect, fair. I just assumed that she was a sex worker at the start because I went into this film completely blind. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. And then he comes in and I literally was like, no. Because he doesn't look old enough either to be a sugar daddy. That threw me off.
Well, he's using his wife's money to pay for it.
Ah! Oh, yeah, because she's a business owner, honey.
She has three businesses and she's the breadwinner in the house. Obviously,
yes, and
they're
really...
He uses her cash.
They're quite... People gossip about her. They call her a Shiksa princess, which basically... Mm-hmm. I had to Google, so I'm trusting Google for the definition, but it basically means a non-Jewish woman who is interested in Jewish men. So obviously, because she's not Jewish, she's married into Judaism. That's what they refer to as a Shiksa princess. Mm. And
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. Also, I did some research, and apparently the Shiksa princess is seen as other to the Jewish man, and therefore it's something that's forbidden and therefore more desirable, which I also thought was very interesting in the context of things, how she's the one that he's married and settled down with, and that still isn't, like, I mean, first of all, Diana Agron, stunning. It's still not enough for him. He still has to be sleeping.
He needs to get
his
little Jewish on the side.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how it felt to me.
Yeah, that's how
I was interpreting it.
It's like he's trying to, like, morally justify it somehow. That is how it felt. Yeah, regardless, cheating. Yeah. No.
So I'm trying to think like the order of the film, but as you say, it's like, wow, super stressful and it's crazy.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Maya for a second. So Maya is the same age as Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
They went to school together. They've known each other since they were kids, and they had a little dating phase in like, I think it was high school-ish because they went to prom together.
Yeah,
their parents were aware. They're still aware. They're still constantly watching them to make sure nothing else is happening.
No funny business.
No funny business with Maya, okay? So yeah, Maya basically is the opposite of Danielle in this moment of time. Mm-hmm. She is very successful. She did really well in college and she's going to law school. She's put together. She can easily talk to everyone. She knows her way with words. She's done internships with some people at this Shiva. So she's kind of the opposite of Danielle in this
moment.
She's
got it all figured out.
She does. And then we kind of also realize that Danielle has been lying to her sugar daddy and been basically pretending to be Maya, like telling him all these things that Maya's actually achieving right now. Like she's doing this to pay for law school, blah, 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 blah. But actually that's Maya's thing. So immediately we get this dynamic of, wow, she, maybe it's not even jealousy, but maybe it's
insecurity.
Like kind of insecurity and that pettiness of this is my ex and she's doing well and she's making her parents proud. Because, sorry, I'm talking really fast. Because I think the biggest struggle with Danielle isn't even that her ex is there and that her sugar daddy is there. I think her biggest pit of insecurity is that she's scared to make her parents disappointed.
Yeah, because she's bisexual, isn't she? But her mum's kind of like, you know, you had your experimenting phase and now that's done. Now we can find you a husband. Or not necessarily a husband, just like a nice man. But Danielle's kind of like, that's invalidating. Also, that I think you're right. I think there's a lot to be said for the insecurities. I don't think it's just Danielle feeling insecure about Maya. I think Maya is also feeling insecure about Danielle because the dynamic between them is so catty. They're having to like there's this whole culture between them of having to one up each other, and you know, all of the parents are like, oh, what are they up to? Oh, that's great, or like silently judging what they are or aren't doing. And I think, you know, there's not only like religious cultural elements coming into that, but also a sense, I feel like, I don't know how you feel about this, but I feel like it's been represented before in media that, you know, there's two women in a relationship together, or like any same-sex couple, and there's like a degree of like competition, or like the couple being pitted against each other. Do you know, I'm not phrasing that very well, but you kind of get what I mean. Like with,
I'm trying to think,
like with Maya and Danielle, they're having to prove themselves to their parents, and they also feel like they have to prove themselves to each other, and it adds like, it's like a whole other dynamic that same-sex people have to deal with, I think, sometimes,
right.
If there's if there's insecurities.
Yeah.
Like a one-upmanship.
It does feel very much like cultural in this sense. And I think the parents are very like centralized. Like Maya's making her parents proud and Danielle isn't. And this is like what she's the most insecure about. Yeah, the fact that
definitely.
Her parents might be disappointed in her. But if she was like Maya, they wouldn't be.
Yeah, that definitely is the main source of her anxiety. But I think it's interesting that there's like an element of sexuality involved as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like you said, there's a lot of cattiness going on. Maya's like constantly digging at Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
And her digs are not even unfair, to be honest. Like they're pretty sound.
Yeah.
It's just that Danielle doesn't have anything to throw back at Maya. So she's losing it like slowly. Mm-hmm. Like it's getting way too much for her.
And all the networking, like her mum keeps throwing around the phrase, the family deal. So like getting like, it's like getting a discount, but it's like, you know, if I do this favor for you, will you get my daughter a job kind of thing? And I love it. I think it's brilliant.
She's so desperate for Danielle to get a good job.
Yeah, and I love that also as well, like we're at a shiver and basically everyone goes in the community regardless of how well they knew the person. Like when Danielle gets there, she was like, wait, who died? Like just double checking who the dead person is, because like weddings, but then also like shivers and funerals and that kind of thing, like everyone from the community gets together. So everyone's trying to like be like, oh, catch up on all the goss, and I quite like it.
Yeah, so sugar daddy wife Weiss, played by Diana Agron.
Queen.
Bless. Diana Agron, by the way, is super connected to Taylor Swift.
I know. I really want Diana Agron to be bi.
She is bi. She's openly bi.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. She had a t-shirt on once that said, I liked kiss girls.
What?
This is why everyone thought that she had a thing with Taylor Swift, because they had a period where they're seen together all the time.
I thought that was just people being like, blah, blah, blah. Oh my god. Oh my god. Wait, sorry, I'm learning so much. So Agron is Jewish, first of all. Oh. Ironic that she plays a, quote, Shiksa princess in this film. And obviously she's been involved with LGBT charity work and stuff. I didn't realise she was fruity.
She's fruity.
That's incredible. Oh my god, that makes me like her even more. I just thought she was like the best ally. Because I thought, how random that she's in this film. I love that.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But she's Jewish and she's queer.
So she's basically what Rachel Sennett should be.
Yeah. Oh my god. First of all, I really liked her character in this. I thought it was like the perfect balance of like girl boss. You know what I mean?
Oh my god, she's such a girl boss. Yeah. But also she's also so observant.
Yes.
Like she knows something's not right. Like her husband's acting weird.
They don't give her enough Danielle's credit acting weird in the film. Like just being like, yeah, they just assume that she won't understand anything, but she's watching. She knows. She knows.
Oh, she knows.
She's reading people.
There's like a point where, like you just said, the family deal. Danielle's mom tries to get Diana Agron to give Danielle a job. Mm-hmm. Because she has three businesses, right? Mm-hmm. And she's super accommodating. She's like, yeah, either you could do this or we can create something for you specifically so you can kind of explore what you want to do.
She's and playing Rachel, the game.
Yeah, Danielle is like, no, that's okay. I'm actually super busy babysitting right now. Like, that's okay. That's not really what I want to do. And it's so weird, right? Like, her parents are probably super happy, like, hearing that, you know? This woman is ready to give their daughter like such a good opportunity. And she's kind of like, no. Obviously, it's suspicious. Like, girl, what the hell?
Yeah.
Some really awkward moments. And this is what Rachel Sennett does so well, right? Like, the awkward moments. Because they're so loaded. Like,
Diana Agron really plays well into that because she gives these, like, she does this thing where she kind of looks like this. Like, she'll open her mouth slightly as if she's gonna say something, but like it's just that she's taking everything in. So she's silently observing and kind of thinking, why is Danielle being so weird with me?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And obviously both Danielle and Max, aka Sugar Daddy, know what the situation is. And he is not nice. It's not Danielle's fault that he is there. How was she supposed to know that he was Jewish? They don't talk about being Jewish in the time that we see the film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
he's
super
evil. He's not very nice. Don't like him.
And I think we see Danielle kind of quote unquote acting out towards him.
Yeah.
And I think it's almost because she's losing control over the entire situation at the Shiva that she tries to grasp onto something she does have control over, like normally, because there's this moment, spoiler alert, at the end when she's talking to Maya and she explains why she does it, right? Where she does the sugar baby thing. And she says, because of the power.
Yeah.
The power I feel.
Which so I get.
During the Shiva, when everything's going wrong and then Danielle's losing grip on anything, she tries to grasp that one thing that she knows gives her power. Yeah. So she tries to engage Max. She sends him nude. And it's almost like, first when you watch it, it's almost like, why would she do that?
Yeah.
But then it makes sense at the end when she explains why she does it in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and it's kind of like in the, you know how people have, you know when people have behaviors that only come out because they lose control about their lives or they feel like they don't have enough control, so they need to do something to give them control, right?
Yeah.
it's almost like we're seeing that happen with her there. Like she tries to grasp this one thing she knows. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't even work. This guy is giving her nothing. I mean, fair enough. His wife and his baby are downstairs. But she's even losing that in that moment. Mm. And this is why it just keeps accumulating and accumulating, like all this stress, and she can't even get a break.
Yeah. Crazy.
To make matters worse, she leaves her phone in the bathroom.
Oh my God.
After she sends those nudes.
This. And why was the phone unlocked? It's like she was trying to self-sabotage.
It wasn't unlocked, but the notification, like she, sorry, if you have a sugar dating app, why would you allow notifications, first of all?
Oh my God.
And why would you not lock the notifications?
Oh my God, literally.
Like, Maya finds her phone. She doesn't, like, it's not unlocked. Like, she sees the notifications, that's it. And then she just remembers her passcode because they were so close before.
Oh God.
Yeah. So Maya finds out about the whole sugar dating thing. And then confronts. And this is right as they're doing better. Like, they finally started to have a conversation.
Didn't they kiss? They'd kissed at this point.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It comes before that.
They had a cheeky little kiss outside.
Oh, my God.
Which was hilarious because it was, like, really, like, intimate and close up. And then it cuts to all the mums and aunties talking on the porch. And it's just, like, looks really weird. Like, them just, like...
Dude, no, it's iconic. Like, there's everyone's like smoking cigarettes, and then around the corner, Maya's just smoking a cigarette by herself.
Yeah,
like iconic. It's like she's hiding, but she's right there.
It's so true.
Yeah. And they kiss. Oh God, I forgot to even say that. How did that make you feel?
For me, it kind of came out of nowhere because they were being horrible to each other the entire time. But as soon as I was kind of like got over the initial shock. I was like, you can see that there's a lot of history and a lot of chemistry there. And like, it did make sense after that point. But my initial reaction was like, huh? What's going on? Also, another line that I liked was a conversation that she had with her mum. First of all, love the mum. I actually think that she's more understanding than she's given credit for. But she says to her mum, you think everyone that's bi is experimenting. And then her mum says, my gaydar is as strong as a bull. And I was like, okay.
I love it.
Pop off.
They're actually like such a, in a way, like a fun family because they actually talk about stuff. Like they talk about sex and orgasms and...
It's nice. It's kind of refreshing. Like there's not really... Like, yes, she's keeping a secret that she's a sugar baby, but, like, why would you tell your parents that? But I like that other than that, like, things are quite open. There's no repression. That it's nice to kind of not lead with the repression, you know, for a change on screen.
Yeah. And she's, like, she's totally fine being bisexual. Like, she doesn't really, like, it's not really talked about, but she couldn't care less, it seems, you know.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah. I feel like we should wrap this up before we talk about bottoms. But the end of the film, obviously, we need to talk about Danielle messing with Max in front of Diana Agron and also the screaming infant. Thoughts?
What do you mean messing with Max?
Like how he's not... he's not very nice to her. So towards the end of the film, when Diana Agron starts catching on, she's like, where did you two meet? And Max is like, we met at shul, so like at temple. And Danielle's like, yeah, although did we? Is that where we met? I'm not sure. And she's playing and I'm like, go on, girly. Go on.
Yeah.
Milk him.
Well, at this point, Diana Agron already knows. Yeah, like, she's
got it.
The look on her face.
Yeah, she knows.
There's like a point where she tries to give the baby to Danielle, and Danielle just completely refuses to take the baby.
I mean, refuses. That baby was yelling the entire time. Yeah. Soon as the baby got there, I just was like, why won't the baby cease? It just added to like the like overstimulation that Danielle was experiencing. Just rose the baby, just like
honestly.
But how did you feel about the ending?
I liked when they're all in the car together and they hold hands.
I really liked it.
I love Maya's mom. She's even worse than Danielle's mom. She's so scared that something would happen between Maya and Danielle.
Well, I like Danielle's mom. I don't like Maya's mom.
No, Maya's mom, yeah. She's so paranoid.
At least Danielle's mom actually like cares about her enough to be like, sweetie, are you okay?
Yeah. There's like one point, I think, I don't know if they're touching each other or what, or they're just squished together in the back. Mm. Oh, the dad asks them to share one seat so the old lady can join in the back. And then Maya's mom is like, oh my God, we can walk home. We can get out now. She doesn't so want her daughter scared. To sit on the other one's lap.
Literally. Yeah. She's absolutely terrified that they're just going to start having sex in the car.
Exactly.
But I thought it was a perfect ending to the chaos.
It is. It is. It's a nice ending. It's kind of hopeful for the relationship and also just kind of for Danielle.
Yeah, definitely.
I like Chevelle Baby. The first time I watched it, I think I had the same feelings as you. I wasn't too sure about it and I was just very overwhelmed. But now that I rewatched it, I liked it so much more.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, because I did really like it. I just found it quite overstimulating. But I think as I'm thinking about it, there are just so many good merits to it. And it's beautifully acted and just hilarious, to be honest. So, well done.
I want to see the short.
Yeah. I wonder if you can access it anywhere.
Hmm.
Shall we move on to Bottoms, the 2023 film starring Rachel Sennett?
Hell yeah.
Also co-written by Rachel Sennett.
Sennett.
Should we just jump straight in?
Yeah.
I just started doing interpretive dance.
I love it. I'm your freestyle dancer.
Interpretive dance break. A message from our sponsor. If you want to be our sponsor, talk to us about being your sponsor.
Oh my God, you took me by surprise. I was like, we have a sponsor?
I wish. Anyway, Bottoms is a queer teen coming of age film. My favorite. I've written an essay on this.
I love coming of age films as a genre.
Me
as well,
too. So. I just think there's something so relatable, nostalgic, and human about them. But Bottoms is about two young women, PJ and Josie, and they are single AF and they basically want to make out with women. So they start a self-defense class to get women to come to it. And then things happen. Things occur. There's a lot of highs and lows, tears and laughter. Because I at first thought that they were leaving school, but I think they're kind of in their like senior year. They're like 17, 18, right?
I think so.
There's a lot of teen queer angst, which I love. What did you think of the film? Talk to me about your thoughts. Obviously, I preferred this one because of the coming of age.
Yeah, I think Bottoms is super fun. I think it's fun because it's like, it's basically two people trying to get their virginities taken by cheerleaders, which is like such a cliche story, right?
Like Kick-Ass, but it's two girls. Right? It's like Kick-Ass.
But it's two girls, yeah. Like it's just such a fun spin. Yeah. And they're both like so awkward. And PJ obviously takes the lead in everything. She's such a strong character.
Not bottom
energy.
She's
so determined. No. So determined to like, I'm going to find a way to sleep with the hottest girls in school. And this is how we're going to do it. And then it just gets so absurd. Like, they start a fight club. Like, an actual fight club.
That was too much. I was like, oh my God, ladies, the bruising. Right. I was like, what are their parents going like... to say? The blood, the bruising. Yes.
Yeah. Girls beating up girls. Woo. Girl on girl action. Yeah.
I feel like right off the bat, there's so much relatability, but like the relatability is satirized. Like over the speaker, it's like, will the girls who are gay, untalented and ugly, please come to the principal's office. And I was like, ouch. and then also just the vibe of like a conversation that I've rarely seen on screen when PJ and Josie are talking about, why are these beautiful, intelligent, funny girls with guys like that? And I'm like, literally so true. Because, yeah, why are they they're with these guys who are being represented as like potatoes? They've got nothing in their brains. They're all like, sports, want to make out? Cool. I don't understand anything that's going on except the football. And the PJ and Josie are just like, we are so much better than that. And honestly, that is such a vibe, because I'm like, the amount of women that I have seen that are treated so, like, just in media and also just like out and about on the tube, I'm like, why are you with this man? He's not speaking to you very nicely. And I'm not being rude. Like, there are some fantastic men out there. Love you. Treat those women nicely. But there's some where I'm just like, these ladies could do so much better. Like, why are they settling with these absolute D-listers? You know what I mean?
And then, especially, what's her name? Isabel. She has this boyfriend who like cheats on her repeatedly, and she just gets back together with
him. Exactly. And it's literally like, why? Like, ladies, were better than this. Mm. Also, another line, everyone knows he's fruity. Just I think Josie was saying it in a rant. I really had an affinity with Josie, like that anxious lesbian vibe. Mm-hmm. Just the way she absolutely, they were have one of their first conversations they had at the homecoming event, and she absolutely just falls apart. And she's literally like, I'm gonna be alone forever, except I'm gonna be set up with the, there was a gay guy in their year, and everyone knows he's fruity, and I'm just gonna die alone. And I'm like, love that. That was me in high school.
Oh my god. Honestly, like, it's so relatable in so many ways.
Yeah.
Aside from the punching each other for fun. Bob's is kind of outrageous too.
How talk to me, walk me through how you think it's outrageous.
The violence.
I mean,
super violent. But like in a really fun way.
Yeah, I didn't realise how violent it was gonna be, but then towards the end of the film I was like, oh my god. But then I realised I didn't actually care, because it was like queer ladies on top. Literally.
Yeah. The bottoms were on the floor, actually. The bottoms are the men.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? Actually, the type of violence in this film gave me Jennifer's Body vibes.
Yes.
Have you seen Jennifer's Body?
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. It's You're like right. The same kind of like violence.
It's like Kick-Ass meets Jennifer's Body meets, I don't know if you ever saw The Duff.
No.
It's kind of like Mean Girls, I don't know. But it's like all that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But I like that. I like that representation of female rage, because it's not something that's shown that much, let alone like with like teens, like teen girls. You could tell these women have all come together. They're all repressing something. They all have this rage inside of them that needs to be let out. And I think we always talk about how like boys need to let out their frustrations. You know, some boys, especially in the States, do like boxing or wrestling. And it's like, what about the girls? Like, we have anger as well. And, you know.
Period. Literally.
But also, like, you know, we have those feelings of frustration. And it's nice to kind of see women writers kind of writing that in such a way that it's okay, there's a safe space to be able to do it, and they all bond over it as well, like how they've been treated negatively, how they've been harassed, or you know, Sylvie and her stepdad, there's something going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvie, the one with the snapback, who's like, yes queen.
Oh, with the long hair.
Yeah. Yes queen.
She's so
I've met someone like that before. I was actually crying at the like the actual like aggressiveness of being like, yes queens.
Oh my god. One of my favorite quotes is when Isabel says, I really value when people use violence for me. It's actually one of my love languages.
Ah, yes!
So there you go. Yes. It's all about violence, but it's about love.
Yes, and also, is it Brittany that's like, she pins PJ down at some point and she's like, stop smiling, I'm kicking your ass. And PJ's like,
yeah. Honestly, that would be me. Like, you know when people say like, oh, she could beat me up.
Yeah.
Like Kate Blanchett, like she could literally step on me, beat me up. this is that moment. This is literally that moment.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's great. PJ's such like, she's, I like her because she's such a strong character, but she's a
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah. She's not very likable.
But like, no, but I can't like it. But yeah. I mean, listen, I don't, you know, I mean, a little bit of mean. There's nothing wrong with that. Do you know what I mean?
No. Like,
yeah, she said some bad things and she was kind of really rude to Hazel, but they make up in the end.
Justice for Hazel, however. I got so sad when Hazel kept being overlooked. I love characters like Hazel, always the underdog. Hazel's iconic. Love Hazel's fashion. Love that she starts blowing stuff up. Spoiler alert.
Oh, she lost her TNT.
Yeah, she's a pyrotechie. pyrotechnic. Pyrotech girl.
She's an arsonist.
Pyrotech girly. I love it. I'm like, yes. I got sad that PJ kept overlooking her. I was like, PJ, stop being selfish for 2 seconds and like following your hormones. Hazel's actually doing so much for you. Can you just grow up? And like, I get it. They're 17 and, you know, she realizes eventually. I'm like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, she has such like tunnel vision. Like the only thing she wants is to have sex with Isabel. And then
Brittany,
it's funny,
right?
Because
is it Brittany? The...
Oh, Brittany. Yeah. Isabel's
the one that Josie.
Josie actually gets with Isabel.
Yeah,
Isabel's bisexual.
They actually connect. I love their chemistry. They're so cute.
Yeah, it's actually really nice. But then PJ is still with nothing. And so she gets like more desperate and desperate. And the more desperate she gets, the meaner she gets.
Mm. But I like that because PJ's kind of positioned. I know PJ and Josie are kind of like main protagonists, but I like that PJ is positioned as the main character but comes across so jaded and unlikable and actually doesn't end up with anyone. I quite liked that they did that, and it's kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, she's slow, like she is maturing, she is growing, like this growing pains period is part of growing up, and she will get there. And I liked that they kind of showed that.
Yeah.
In conjunction with Josie, who's like ready for a connection. It's so cute.
Yeah. It is cute. The funny thing about Isabel and PJ is that it does come to a kind of a part where PJ is very open and clear about like, mm-hmm. oh, this is what I actually want. And they kiss, and Isabel's like, wait, oh, PJ's like, oh, wait, I'm gay. And Isabel's like, yeah, I'm not.
Oh,
I just like gay.
Yeah.
Oh. Brittany.
Brittany. Oh, when she was like, one of the cheerleaders was like, I'm so gay. And Brittany's like, I'm so not. I was like, that's, go off. I loved that, like, little
it was just
moment.
So funny how it's like, she literally picked the straightest girl she could possibly pick to have a crush on.
Stereotype. Always, but then it's like PJ, she goes for the unobtainable because she's deep down, she's not ready.
Totally true.
Also, the whole dynamic with Jeff absolutely kills me because I feel like Jeff, Isabel's ex-boyfriend, he is exactly how lesbians see jocks. Brainless, just,
yeah.
What, like, how is he popular with the teachers and also all of the girls, like how has he got like the hot cheerleader?
Beats me.
I feel like that it's such a queer lens, and I love that they satirize that because it's literally like the lesbian perspective is, oh, this girl could do so much better, like what I was saying before. And they really amplify that. And Jeff makes no sense. Jeff is insane. And also, there's a bit in the cafeteria where Isabel confronts Jeff and he's sat with all of his jocks. And it's literally like the scene of The Last Supper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when it's got like...
Amazing.
Like the background and they're all sat like...
Yeah.
They're all sat like Jesus and his disciples.
Yeah, but that's literally what it feels like because they're all worshipping him like crazy.
Yeah, and my girlfriend was like, which one's Judas? And I was like, it was too quick. That was good as well.
How did you feel about the ending on the football field?
So I was worried that the ending was going to go too far, but I actually ended up really enjoying it. And I was like, yes, girls, justice.
Walk us through it.
So basically, they get to the big game. The plan is to blow up a tree to stop the game, because the game is between their school and Huntington, the other team. And there's been speculation that Huntington is going to kill someone at the game. So they go to kind of confront the situation. They're going to blow up a tree, stop the game, all that stuff. And then they realize that they manage to piece together that the sprinklers on the football pitch are filled with pineapple juice, and Jeff is deathly allergic to pineapple. So basically, they have to end up rescuing Jeff, the idiot, and then it turns into like a full-scale war with the Huntington boys, where the girls fight them and kill them all.
Yeah.
And win.
Massacre.
And literally everyone in the stands is just like, heh.
Yeah.
But there's no consequence. It's hilarious. I love it. I love it.
They're just cheering.
Yeah. It's they're like, yes. So that's hilarious. I said, who is Ted? Oh. It's when the truth is revealed about why they started the club. This is a side note. But you know how the caretaker always cleans off the like hate crime that's like sprayed onto their lockers?
Yeah.
But there's hate crime sprayed on, and then when everyone's angry with them for, because it gets exposed at the pep rally that they've just started it to get girls, and Josie walks past and Ted doesn't even just stop to clean their lockers, and Josie just goes, Ted! As he's walking down the corridor, she's just like, it's like a Stella moment. Like a streetcar moment where she's like, Ted! And I was absolutely losing it. I absolutely just not. And then Avril Lavigne's Complicated comes on.
Oh,
and
I was so like, good.
When is this film even set? Have I seen a single cell phone?
Oh. I didn't even think about that.
No, because then I was like, is this supposed to be set in like the 90s, noughties, like peak high school Mean Girls era?
Yeah.
But
then they're like gay and it's totally fine, so maybe not. It feels current.
Yeah, it feels really current, but I think it was kind of made to be timeless in a way, which I like.
Yeah.
Anyway, side note, Ted aside, what did you think of the ending? Did you like it as well?
I loved it. Yeah. I mean, it was just so over the top, but it was amazing. Like,
yeah.
The whole film's over the top, to be honest. Like, everything's just absurd. And the ending just brings it all together. Like,
but I think those absurd over the top films like Kick-Ass or American Pie, those kinds of films I always found quite difficult to watch growing up because they're so male gazey. I think flipping the stereotype on its head and having a queer female gaze and queer female gaze as the center focus of the film really, really worked for me. And it was nice to kind of have our own version of that genre. Really, really enjoyed it. And I like that Josie and Isabel reconcile. I like that PJ's kind of awkward with Hazel, but like, you know, they're not ready for that yet. And that's fine. It was such a good, positive way to end it.
Yeah.
Uplifting. For the queer youth.
Yeah.
Because I know we've talked a bit about the coming of age before. Like on our Gay Actually channel, we've talked about Heartstopper. And I think there's a lot to be said for it. Obviously, kids, that we never would have had a film like this when we were growing up in the mainstream. So it's just so nice to see that kind of representation in a slightly newer, quirky way that isn't super depressing and scary and nerve-wracking. It's just silly. Mm-hmm. Like, we're okay. Let's just have a bit of fun. I quite like that we have that. We have that balance with both of these films where queerness isn't the main issue.
Yeah.
It's just a part of the journey. And because I think we've talked about before how, like, coming out, sometimes it really works as a plot point of a film, but then sometimes it's really nice to just kind of have it there in the background. And it's a fine balance for sure, but I think these films smashed it.
I totally agree with what you say. And I think what's so fun about Bottoms is that it completely centralizes the queerness, but in a different way than what we're used to, and in a very relevant way. Like, I think we can all agree that as gay people or queer people, when you're with other queer people, you talk about being queer, right? And it's like, it's amazing.
Talk to?
Exactly. And it's just so fun to talk about, because it's like, it's just fun. And this is what the film does. It's like all about that queerness, but not in a way that we're used to, where it's, like you say, an issue, or it comes with baggage, or it comes with coming out. It's instead, it's all that focus on queerness, but in the way that we like to talk about it and experience it, and the things we like to, like, that actually give us, like, satisfaction and pleasure to talk about.
Yeah.
And that's what's so fun about it. It's like, yeah, we acknowledge it constantly, but in, like, the best way possible, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yay!
Yay, gay!
So, I mean, the funny thing about this theme for this week is that Rachel Sennett isn't even queer.
But, yeah, that was a plot twist I wasn't expecting for this episode, I'm not going to lie.
Definitely. But... it's just that these two films, I know they're, like... I know she has a little cult following for her films, but also I know that a lot of it is from the lesbians, not exclusively, but definitely some on Twitter.
You see you lesbians. Hey, girls.
Me go, hey. Because she plays these queer characters, or she's at least in films with queer characters, like in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Her sexuality is not explicitly mentioned. She's in a relationship with a man, but the main characters are a lesbian couple. And there's, like, other queer characters. You know, there's always queerness.
She's just ally.
Ally.
Or she's not defined herself. And we respect that too. What's the cue for?
Come on, Rachel Sennett.
Safe space, safe space.
None of that.
You do you, boo. You keep representing queer ladies positively and well. And your cult following will be here to stay, honey.
Other thing. She has this other film from 2020 called Tahara. I haven't seen it personally, and this is also a queer film where she plays a queer character.
Okay, wow. So
it just keeps coming.
She's all over the queer issues.
Exactly. She loves to play a lesbian. Maybe we should talk about it, honey.
We're here for you, girl.
You want to explore? Not with me. Just, I mean, if you listen to the podcast and it interests you,
maybe. Do you want to go to a lesbian bar in London? Butch, please.
Hello, hello.
Do you have any final thoughts on these two films?
I love them. I think, like I said, I liked Shiva Baby first time I watched it, but it wasn't like, whoa. But the second time around, I liked it a lot more.
That's good to know, because I've only seen it once.
Yeah. But it's been like months and months, like maybe a year since I watched it the first time. So maybe give it some time.
Okay. Yeah, marinate.
And then I think Bottoms is super fun. I really want you to watch Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Do it.
I will. Maybe we'll have to talk about it.
Yeah, I think Rachel Sennett, I think her acting is just super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And like her comedy is great.
Yeah.
And it's just so relatable in such an odd way.
It is. Like, yeah, it is very strange. But like I get why people connect to it. Like I did connect to it, like Bottoms. It brought back memories, honestly. I was like, yeah, do you know what? And also just memories of watching films in the 2000s that you're like, oh my god. So I totally get it. She is very, very funny. But yeah, thank you so much everyone for listening to this monthly series as part of the UK Film Review podcast. If you've liked what you've listened to, never fear. There is more to listen to.
Yay.
We have an episode that also went up this week on Good Grief, as we said earlier. We also do monthly episodes over here on the third Thursday of every month. Gay Actually. Here we are. We also have monthly episodes on our Gay Actually channel. So we have two episodes a month for your listening pleasure. If you want to get in touch with us, we are at Gay Actually Podcast on Instagram and via email at gayactuallyuk@gmail.com. If you've got any requests for episodes, if you want to be on the podcast, if you just want to chat.
Excellent. Well said. Well said.
Thank you. I don't know about that. Thank you so much, Joyce, as always. Thank you for suggesting today's wonderful theme. I've had such a blast.
Thank you, Amber, as always.
We'll be back on our Gay Actually channel in a couple of weeks to discuss All of Us Strangers, the new Andrew Scott, Paul Mescal film.
Start praying for me. So bad. I'm going to cry.
We ain't ready.
No, tell me about it. I have to pop a Xanax before we go to the cinema.
So anyway, go and see the film, or, you know, just chat about it with us. That's cool too. But take care, everyone. In the meantime, have a lovely couple of weeks and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.